In the gospel reading today, we hear about this wedding feast that was held at Cana in Galilee. And we're told that our Lord, his disciples, and our Blessed Lady were all invited to this wedding. We hear about the wine running short and our Blessed Lady coming to our Blessed Lord and asking him to do something about it. Now, the response that Jesus gives to his mother is something that in English sounds pretty horrible. If it were translated literally, it would say, "Woman, what is this to you and to me?" That's literally what it says. Now, in Hebrew, that's not a problem at all. In English, we still use man, not so much to direct something, but we use the word all the time. Man, I tell you, whatever. That's basically what this is. It's a Hebrew idiom. It was not something disrespectful. If you said to your mother, "Woman, what is this to you and to me?" she'd smack you, and rightly so. But if you were Hebrew, it wouldn't be a problem. But what we do need to recognize in all of this are two things. First of all that we hear about is the mother of Jesus. Notice again, St. John never uses our Blessed Lady's name. Never once in his entire gospel does St. John use our Blessed Lady's name. That is for a reason. Because what we hear in the gospel reading today, so at this first miracle of our Lord, Jesus calling his mother woman, we hear the exact same thing in the 19th chapter of St. John's gospel. That is when our Lord is on the cross and he looks at his mother and says, "Woman, behold your son." Why is that important? The fact that St. John never uses our Blessed Lady's name is precisely to call attention to the use of woman. And what's the attention needed? What you recognize, if you look at it carefully, it actually comes up three times in St. John's Gospel. So we hear about it here in the second chapter, at the wedding at Cana. "Woman, my hour has not yet come." So we have this connection of a woman and an hour. In the 16th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus talks about a woman and her hour, and that is the hour of birth, the hour of the greatest pain that a human person can endure, to give birth to a child. And he says, when a woman's hour has come, she's not happy. But after the baby is born, she's filled with joy because the child is born, and so on. So we have the woman and the hour. Once again. And then when you look at what happens on the cross, we have the woman and the hour. The word hour isn't used in the 19th chapter of St. John's Gospel. It is lived. It is there that Our Lady gives birth to her spiritual children. She was spared all of the pains of childbirth when our Lord was born. He was conceived in a miraculous way. He was born in a miraculous way. There was not the normal opening of the womb. There was not the normal birth through the birth canal that would normally happen. Just as our Lord was able to get in, so he was able to get out. Without any kind of physical thing happening to our Blessed Lady. So all these movies about the Nativity that show our Blessed Lady going into labor and doing all these things as she's about to give birth, that did not happen. It was not a normal birth. And so you can see one other place in St. John's writing where there is a woman in her hour. She is about to give birth. In fact, she is wailing aloud, we are told, as she labored to give birth. And it's pretty clear when you look at that from the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation that it's talking about Mary and Jesus. Because it is a woman who gives birth to a son who's to rule all the nations with an iron rod. He's snatched up to the throne of God and so on. You look at that and say, but Our Lady didn't suffer in the birth of Jesus. She suffered in our birth, in our spiritual rebirth. And so our own mothers gave us birth physically, but our Blessed Lady gave birth spiritually. And it was there at the foot of the cross, in the most intense agony, that Our Lady gave birth to us. And in fact, it was there that the words of Simeon, the elderly man, the prophet from the temple, when our Lord was presented, his words were fulfilled. Because it said of our Blessed Lady that a sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. Now the word that is used there for sword is not the ordinary Greek word for sword. In fact, that word is only used one other place in the entire New Testament, and that's when it talks about Jesus slaying the people with the sword of his tongue. And so we're not talking about a physical sword, we're not talking about an ordinary sword. But in this case, it is a sword of sorrow that is going to pierce our Blessed Lady's heart. So this is a spiritual sword. It was not the opening of her womb, the opening of her heart. And in the opening of her heart, that brought about the birth of the children she had conceived in her heart, you and me. We are her spiritual children. Now, all of that, you can ask, so what does this have to do with woman? All this has to do with St. John pointing us back to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, it says, there will be enmity between you and the woman. And what is being spoken of in Genesis is one woman and one male offspring. It's not clear in the English, but it's clear in the Hebrew. We're not talking about Eve and all of her children, because the offspring there is not in the plural. Problem in English is the plural and the singular are the same word. Whether you want to use the word offspring or whether you want to use the word seed, which is what's actually used there, it's the same in whether it's singular or plural. So we can't tell the difference when we read it. And we can't tell if we're talking about one child, many children. We can't tell if we're talking about males or females. But it's clear in the Hebrew. It is a singular woman with a singular male child. And so the fact that St. John is using this point of the woman and her hour is to draw attention specifically to that passage from Genesis 3:15, to be able to show that this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. But we also have to look a step further than that. Because while all that is true, we also have to recognize what is going on here. The fact that it is our Blessed Lady herself who comes to our Lord to ask for this favor, understanding what that was going to mean. That again, you know, Hebrew is filled with little idioms. I guess as English-speaking people in America, we should understand that. We speak in ways that people from foreign countries cannot understand because we use all these little phrases and euphemisms and idioms and all kinds of other stuff, and we can literally write an entire story that people wouldn't understand because of all the little idioms that we use. But that's the way it is in Hebrew. They had all kinds of little phrases that they would use for different things. So, woman, what is this to you and to me? Doesn't just have the obvious meaning that it would seem to us. What our Lord is doing is asking his mother, do you really understand what this means? If I do what you ask me to do, you understand this means the whole process that is going to end in the woman at the foot of the cross in agony is about to begin. You see our Lord's great respect for his mother. He came for one purpose, and that purpose was to die so that we could live. But he had such profound respect for his mother that he made all of that work dependent on her. Not only dependent on her in the sense that he chose, well, his heavenly father chose, that his son was going to be born of a woman. Not because there was a necessity that he had to be born of a woman, but because that was God's will. God could have done this any way that he wanted. And that was the way he chose. So in that sense, he made himself dependent on Our Lady. All of heaven had to wait as the angel Gabriel came to our Blessed Lady to ask her if she would be the Mother of God. And can you imagine the joy in heaven when she said yes? Salvation was dependent on the yes of this extraordinary woman. Salvation would not happen without the yes of this extraordinary woman. And she knew at the moment that she said yes what that was going to require. Obviously, without original sin, Our Lady was not only extraordinarily intelligent, but the clarity of her soul to understand what the Old Testament was telling her, she understood fully. She knew what Isaiah 53 said. She knew what was going to happen to her son. She had read Psalm 22. She had read Psalm 69. She knew what all of these things were about. She knew that the Messiah was going to have to come and die. And she said yes, understanding what that was going to mean for her. Now, 30 years later, she has to say yes again. So that generic yes that she said to be able to conceive him now had to be a very specific yes to be able to say, I'm ready. Just as the psalmist would say, my heart is ready, O God, my heart is ready. That is essentially what Our Lady is doing here. Our Lord looks at his mother and essentially asks her, do you know what this means? Are you ready? And when she turns to the waiters and says, do whatever he tells you, that sets the process of the work of salvation into motion. Again, isn't it fascinating that it is our Lord himself who came into this world for that purpose and that purpose only? And yet, in each step of the way, he allowed his mother to lead. He allowed his mother to be the one to say yes, that it is time now, that she was ready, and that her children would be ready. That becomes the point of necessity for you and me. Are we ready? On one hand, we can look at it and say, well, that all happened 2,000 years ago. What do you mean, are we ready? Are we truly ready to accept it? Are we ready to allow this into our hearts, to change our hearts? Are we really ready to say that I am a child of our Blessed Lady? I am a son or a daughter of God, my Father, and I am a son or a daughter of our Blessed Mother? Because I am a member of Jesus Christ? These points are all true, and we all know them in our heads, but are we really ready to be able to say, my heart is ready, O God? My heart is ready. Are we willing to accept that? If we are, then we have to be able to look at the consequences of it. Our Lady knew the consequences of her decision. Our Lord obviously also knew the consequences. Now, if you and I are going to be members of Jesus Christ, children of our Blessed Lady, then there are consequences for us too. It means that process of purification has to begin. St. Paul tells us in the first reading a little bit of what that will look like. First of all, tells us that each one of us has been given different gifts, and we need to use those gifts for the glory of God and for the good of others. But he tells us that everything must be done in charity, fraternal charity, looking out only for the good of the other person. That, as we've talked about many times, is the absolute opposite of what our society is about. So are we ready to go contrary to the cultural norms? Are we ready to take up the cross? At this point, I think also we have to look at what's going on. Are we ready to be crucified? And right now, that is not just a cute question. They're trying to destroy this Mass. They're doing everything in their power to take this away. Are you ready to be persecuted? We can whine and moan all day long. What good is that going to do? Zero. Are you ready to take up the cross? Are you ready to say, I am willing to go to Calvary and be crucified with our blessed Lord? That's what the question is. That was the question our Lord put to his mother. And her yes was for both of them. But she's a mom. If her yes was for her son, that means her yes is for her sons and daughters. She said yes to us, and she said yes for us. But our Lord made his yes dependent on Our Lady. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to say, do whatever he tells you? Are we willing to walk this path of where it's going to lead? These people are not going to stop. They absolutely must get rid of this Mass. They have to get rid of this Mass in order to get what they want. As long as this Mass continues, they can't get what they're after. That's why they're going after this. The church is on fire. The whole thing is falling apart, and they're coming after the traditional Mass? I mean, you look at it and go, come on. Oh, no, no. There's a reason why they're doing this. They want the church to be on fire. They want the church to be falling down. They want all of this chaos and this mess, and they have to get rid of this in order to be able to bring about the fulfillment of what they're trying to do. So let's be clear about that. The church is going to be crucified. And you and I have the privilege to be part of it. Now, on one hand, you look at it and go, that doesn't sound like a privilege to me. Ask any saint. We've got 8,000 of them. Ask any of them. If you could be alive at any time in history, when would you want to be alive? And they will all tell you when the church is crucified. This is our time. This is our hour. Everything that we see is right there for us. This isn't just about what happened 2,000 years ago. So we've got to go to that last line in the gospel today, and it says his disciples believed in him. Do we? Not just objectively, in the heart, are we willing to do what is going to follow if we say yes? Woman, what is this to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. It was still going to be three years before his hour arrived. But this began the process. It's not yet our hour. It's coming. And the question is, do we want to be part of it? Are we willing to say yes? God wasn't going to ask Our Lady to say yes to something she didn't understand or comprehend, reasonably so anyway. And he's not going to ask you either. It's sort of like when Jesus asked his apostles, can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink of and be baptized in the baptism with which I'll be baptized? And, sure. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? They had no clue what they were talking about. Our Lady knew what she was talking about. And you need to know what you're talking about. And so we need to do exactly what St. Paul told us to do, and that's to get to prayer. And in prayer, God is going to ask you that question. Are you ready? Are you willing? Is this what you are willing to do for me? What's your question? What's your answer? Our Lady responded in two ways. First, she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Second, so do whatever he tells you. So it's basically the same thing. It's his word. But he isn't going to force anybody to do it. He asked his mother if she was willing to be his mother. He asked his mother if she was ready for what was going to follow. She had already said yes, now he's asking her again. So you were baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord. It's already there. Now he's going to ask you again, are you willing to do what this baptism really means? Are you willing to share in the death and resurrection of the Lord? Are you willing to go to Calvary? Are you willing to say yes to everything that this means? And let's be clear, we're going to be persecuted. Our Mass is probably going to be taken away from us. It'll still be there, don't worry. Just might not be able to be here. But don't worry about that. But we don't know how that's going to be. We don't know what it's going to look like yet. We don't know where it's going to... We don't have to worry about those things. We're going to go underground. The church cannot be destroyed. Our Lord promised us that. But the church is going to be crucified. Are you ready? He's not going to ask you to do something that just sounds cute and fun. He's going to ask you with knowledge to understand what it is that he's saying and asking you now specifically if you're willing to do this, if you're ready to take part in it, to do what Christians have done for 2,000 years, to do what Christians in other countries are doing every day. They're being persecuted. They're dying for their faith. We've had it pretty easy. That day is coming to a close. So now we look at those questions. What is this to you and to me? Everything. It means salvation. It means eternal life. This wasn't about just fixing a problem and changing some water into wine. It's what was going to follow from it. He alone is our Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He is the Son of God. And you and I have the privilege to be members of that Son of God. We have the privilege to call God our Father, to call our Blessed Lady our Mother. But that privilege comes with some responsibility. And now that responsibility is about to come upon us. And so he will ask the question, are you ready?